This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now, pleased to be joined by a player who had a nice decade or so in the NBA. Of course, he makes Houston his home now. He's a former Houston Rocket. Mo Taylor joining us on Sports Radio 610. Mo, great to have you on the show. Unfortunate circumstances, obviously, to discuss today. But where were you when you heard the news of Kobe Bryant yesterday? And what were your immediate thoughts?
I mean, I was in Jason's Deli with my daughter's soccer team. We were out in the Woodlands, and she had a soccer tournament over the weekend. And I was just, you know, having a sandwich. We had a break in between games, and I got a text message that said, you know, Kobe died. That's exactly, you know, what it said. And my response is, Kobe who? You know, because I know we're not talking about Kobe Bryant. But it was a surreal feeling, you know, to hear that. And then after that text message, my phone just started blowing up. And once I found out it was, you know, actually a real story, you know, it was just heartbreaking.
Well, and you, you know, I think obviously like a lot of the rest of us that have daughters, you were in a very similar circumstance in doing something athletically related with your daughter. Is his watching Kobe and kind of the way he is with his daughters, and you guys came into the league, right? You came into the league a year after him. Do you feel like you've kind of grown up alongside Kobe in a lot of ways and gone through your retirement years in the same way as Kobe?
I mean, it's very few relationships that I've had that was longer, that hadn't been as long as the relationship that I had with Kobe. Now, we weren't personal friends. We knew each other from when we saw each other at the NBA's of Brotherhood. We've had some battles against each other. You know, we had some great games with those Van Gundy, Yao, and Tracy McGrady teams, you know, playing against the Lakers. We had some great battles with them. But who he was as a father, everybody can't understand Kobe as a player. Everyone can't be Kobe Bryant as a player. But the father that Kobe Bryant was showed us that we all, you know, have that same love for our children, no matter what we did in the NBA. And the sad part about that is just seeing a 13-year-old young woman on the cusp of, you know, doing great things. I mean, it's just tragic. It's tragic. I mean, we came in the league together. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a year ahead of me. He was the sixth man for the Lakers, and he was a young, you know, high player for the Lakers and the league. You know, I was drafted by the Clippers. I was our sixth man. I was looked at it with similar potential playing for the Clippers. And I think that, you know, that's kind of where I was introduced to him. We were the guys to where when we went out, you know, in L.A., and, you know, L.A. is notorious for not letting anyone in under 21. So neither one of us was 21, so we ran into each other plenty of times, not getting into a couple of spots out there.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, because the thing about it is that when you're that young and you play basketball, you can't come with a fake ID. Everybody knew how old I was. It wasn't like, okay, yeah, I'm 22 today. No, it didn't happen.
So Mo and Kobe had to hang out like out in the car while the rest of the guys went inside.
The first club I ever got into, and he happened to be there, was when Shaq was doing comedy shows at the old comedy store. Comedy store is still there, but when he was doing shows, and every team in LA would come out to those shows. And I think that was really my first time being around the Lakers, Shaq, and Kobe, for that matter. But, I mean, to hear it, it's still unreal. I didn't do anything yesterday but watch coverage of Kobe Bryant. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, if you look at the number of basketball players that came up under him, and he's been retired, what, 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I've been associated with basketball, it's only been 4 years that Kobe wasn't associated with the game. And I'm talking about from the time I came into the league. That was 1997.
Yep. Mo Taylor.
It's a lot of guys came up under Kobe.
Yeah, no doubt. Mo Taylor joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Kobe was the 13th overall pick in 1996. You were the 14th overall pick in 1997, and you both spent – Kobe obviously spent his whole career in L.A., but you were in L.A. playing for the Clippers for the first three, four seasons of your career, Mo. So you were there when Kobe went from being a sixth man to being a guy on the cusp of taking the Lakers to their first three championships. What do you remember about that time of Kobe's rise to prominence of being in L.A. for that?
I remember the Lakers coming into the Forum. My rookie year was Kobe's second year. He was sixth man. That's when they started to turn the corner in 98. So I remember him checking in. I remember this guy just having the it factor. You know, you saw it in him. But then also, I was with the Lakers with the Clippers my last year, which was 2000, which was their first finals run. The difference between Kobe in his second year and his third year was tremendous. I mean, it wasn't any playing on the court. I mean, he had a steel demeanor. I mean, he believed that he was the best player in the league, and he believed that, you know, they wouldn't stop at nothing but championship. That 2000 year was when I saw Kobe change from Kobe to the Mamba. That year, Shaq won the MVP that year, but we all know that it was combined effort between the both of them that made them so dominant. So to see him come from, you know, 18, 19 years old to the year 2000 when they started their run, I mean, you saw the change in him. And you saw how, you know, dominant he would become. And I mean, and it was history after that.
Mo, I knew some of Kobe's background from having been a child in Italy for a portion of his childhood. I didn't realize necessarily the same influence he had over there. And you played a year in Italy. Was that anything that ever came up, or was it ever apparent just how popular he was in Italy?
I know he's huge. I mean, the only people that are bigger in Italy were soccer players. Current soccer players that are playing that are superstars. Now, those are the only players that was actively bigger. But as far as historically, and I mean, I played in Milan, so it was a lot of influence, you know, from Kobe. I mean, all you saw was Kobe Bryant jerseys in Italy. Italy accepted Kobe as one of their own, which he was. And I kind of understand that, you know, my grandmother's Italian. I have an Italian passport. That's why I went over there to play. And they cherished Kobe like, you know, like almost as if he was one of their own, as if he was born in Italy. But basketball-wise, he was born in Italy. You know, that's where he got his first taste when Jelly Bean was playing over there. Mike D'Antoni was coaching Milan when Kobe was a youngster. So I think, you know, he's a global icon, and I believe I have some right to say that because I played with some global icons. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, there was no match for Kobe. You know, as far as when it came to, you know, the respect he got from players, fans, you know, from everyone globally.
Well, and Mo, you played in China as well. And obviously you mentioned playing with global icons, Yao Ming, Tracy McGrady. Kobe was huge in China as well, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I mean, it was the three. I have never seen anything like Yao Ming going back to China. And Kobe's influence is equal to that because his influence started Yao Ming. There would not be any Yao Ming's overseas guy if we didn't have players like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, that were that big to where it transcended nationalities. It transcended, you know, sport. You know, like Kobe is known as Kobe. He's not known as Kobe Bryant. He's on a one-name basis with everyone in this world. And I think that, you know, you those type of players don't come around every now and then. Yeah. You know, I think he came around in 97 and started winning in the early 2000s, right on the cusp and the blast of social media. So if you look at from, let's just say 2000, when they won that championship, to now, how many people have came in contact with Kobe Bryant through, let's say, you know, 7-8 degrees of separation. I mean, he's that huge. And he's been around the game that long. That there is not a player or a coach that doesn't know someone that came in contact with Kobe Bryant his game. And that is crazy.
It's crazy.
Those are things they used to say about Kareem.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Mo Taylor joining us on Sports Radio 610. Mo, I know you guys played different positions. Kobe was a wing player. You were forward. You played inside, but you could get around on the court pretty much anywhere. Can you describe what it was like going up against Kobe Bryant? Do you have an anecdote or a story of what it was like going against a guy that just burned that hot on the court night in and night out?
I think one memory I have was obviously the Christmas Day games were huge. Shaq and Yao, Mac and Kobe. I mean, we were the perfect team, you know, to match up with them for those big ratings games. And we were all, I think you guys remember that we always played on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And the demeanor and just the will, when he saw Tracy McGrady walk in the room or walk on the court, we were going to get Kobe's best. I remember looking at Tracy during the games, he like, and, you know, Tracy's so talented. Tracy can get 35 just by walking on the court. So it's nothing to him. But this guy on the other side, he wasn't with all of the, you know, it's a Christmas Day game, we're shaking hands with everybody, oh, you're cool, everybody good, you know, man. He wasn't with all of that. You know, he came out there to basically looking at this as an opportunity. So Tracy McGrady's on this floor. I have to play my best. Someone who hasn't seen us play against each other is going to judge us today. And that's how Kobe approached the game. And those games they were huge. They were so much fun and so competitive. So I think those are things I remember the most, as well as playing them in the playoffs. You know, the only time I made the playoffs with the Rockets was playing against Kobe and the Lakers. And just to see the will. I mean, you come out there, you arrive to the arena off the bus, and you're walking through the tunnel to your locker room. You peek on the court, and Kobe Bryant's the only person out there. And you know it's going to be a long day. And I also played against him with the Knicks when he went on this run. You know, he was in the midst of, what, 5 games, 6 games, over 40 or 50. And he had the 81 2 games before he came into Madison Square Garden. I mean, let's be serious. We knew on the Knicks we weren't going anywhere. So our whole thing was like, how many in the hell is Kobe going to have on us today? I mean, he got 81 on Toronto. He got 60 on Dallas in 3 quarters. What the hell is he going to do to us today? So I think I saw every aspect of his greatness to where we were competing against each other at a high level. You know, we had entertaining games, you know, on big-time TV games during the holidays. And I ran across them when, you know, I was on some pretty bad teams and I was just a fan watching them.
Yeah.
It's really surreal.
Just trying to keep your cheering, like, under wraps while you're sitting there on the bench just watching greatness take place against the team that's paying you.
Trevor Ariza was a rookie that year. Nate Robinson was a rookie that year. Trevor Ariza grew up in L.A.
Yeah.
It was as if he was meeting the idol that day. Same thing for Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
And I remember that because I remember 97, the first time Jordan stepped on the floor and I'm lining up for a jump ball and I am in awe. But the crazy part about it is more players that had that feeling about Kobe than about Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Michael Jordan wasn't around a lot, a brief career.
Yeah. You may have just answered the question, but before we let you go, Mo, why do you think that is? Because I tend to agree with you. This outpouring for Kobe over the last 24 hours, I think it's validation for something that I think a lot of people have felt for a while, that Kobe was just different than a lot of these, maybe even different than LeBron as well from that standpoint, that there was a love for Kobe that went just beyond basketball and sport. Why do you think that is?
Let me be real for a second. I am a LeBron guy. And whenever we get in our debates, I'm one of the guys that say, no, LeBron this, LeBron that. Even though I've played against Kobe, I'm a LeBron guy. I got caught up in what everybody else get caught up in. and get caught up in is looking at something as if it's ordinary until you don't have it anymore. And the connection that Kobe had with players is Michael Jordan played, what, 13 years in the league? That's a short career. He did a lot in a short amount of time. Kobe Bryant has been around. If you name the top 20 players in the NBA right now, they are influenced by Kobe Bryant. Any player, I came out in 97. Kobe was in the league when I came in. He was in the league when I left. And now with the social media boom, his presence is, you know, it's everywhere. And I don't, Michael Jordan didn't have the presence to reach, his first time reaching overseas was the Dream Team. You know, he really became a global icon on that trip. Kobe became a global icon just staying in L.A.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing
you
stuff.
You know, it's a big difference.
Yep. Absolutely. Mo Taylor, well put, Mo. That was good stuff. Man, we hope to catch up with you, talk some hoops under better circumstances next time. But this was great stuff, man. We really appreciate you sharing your thoughts on a day like this. And we'll catch up again soon, man. Thanks for the time, Mo.
No, thanks for having me. And Kobe forever, man.
Yeah, there it is. Kobe forever. Absolutely. R.I.P. Mamba. Mo Taylor. That was good stuff. Maurice Taylor, former Rocket, joining us on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.